Brother Sean, give these, pass these around. Everybody gets one. Everybody needs one of these handouts. Way to be a team. Exodus 17, whenever you get all your stuff together there. Go ahead and stand with me. Let you stretch your legs one more time. Exodus 17. We're just going to be doing dealing with verses 1 through 7. Let's start in verse number 1. Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" There's an interesting two questions there. Let me ask them again. Why chide ye with me? And what there Moses is doing is he's explaining to, or rather addressing the children of Israel as arguing with him personally. But then look where their temptation was pointed to. Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? So in the end, they're not just fighting with Moses, they're fighting with God. That needs to be noted. Verse 3. The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." Isn't that a bad commentary on the children of Israel? They're about to stone their leader. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, this is so powerful, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's pray. Father, we do pray one more time for your blessings upon the message, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I handed these notes out to you, and I want you to make a few notes even now as we get started. The title of our message this afternoon is Moses, an Example of Godly Leadership. So if you'd write a few words down, maybe just note things as we go, I think it would help you to stay fully engaged in this message. I think you'll be blessed by it as we go. And so that first one is Moses, an Example of Godly Leadership. Now, what we're going to be doing is a three-part message series on leadership. So the first one has to do with conflict. And so you can note that on that second blank there. How a leader deals with conflict. I'm sorry, contention, not conflict, contention. If you wrote conflict, that's fine. Just put slash contention. That's the word I want you to remember. So today we're dealing with contention, how a leader is to deal with contention. Next time we'll be dealing with the attacks of the enemy. Whenever the enemy comes, what does a leader do to deal with that? And then in our final message, we will see how a leader, a godly leader, deals with the burdens of the ministry. And so today, dealing with contention. On that last title, I want you to note this. Only God can satisfy spiritual thirst. Write the word spiritual. Because really that's the key in understanding how to deal with contention, is understanding the spiritual nature of contentious situations. If you've ever been in a position of leadership, then you've dealt with contention, and you know that's true. If you're a parent, you deal with children who fight over toys. You know, they just fuss with each other. If you have a boss, then your boss has a tendency to be chiding and upset about things, you see, and so you deal with that. If you you know, are a boss, then you've been upset about things. And so there's just contentious situations at the workplace. Customer service and dealing with angry customers, and we have issues with that. And so if you're honest this afternoon, then you would all agree with me that we've been guilty of dealing with contention the wrong way. And, you know, it's a dangerous situation whenever we deal with contention the wrong way. I have recently been reacquainted with a great book called Love and Respect. It's a great book on marriage. And if you've ever read that book or haven't read that book, if you've read it, you would agree with me. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to get a hold of it and read it. It's a great book. Love and Respect. Now, in the book, he talks about how, you know, the woman has a most basic need, an essential need of love, and the man has a basic and essential need of respect. And you'll have to get into the book to, you know, see sort of how he develops that, and it's a really powerful and great truth. It is so amazing to me, as I've gotten refreshed with this book and my reading, my personal reading, that how easy it is when my wife and I have a contention to handle it the wrong way. You know, it seems natural for me when there's contentious situation or tension between my wife and I to internalize this thing and then have like the way that I naturally handle it is just the wrong way. The same thing happens in parenting. I've also been reacquainted with a great book called Shepherding a Child's Heart. And I've been amazed at how I've dealt with my children's behavior rather than dealing with the heart of the issue, which is their heart. You know, why did they do this? Why did they act this way? Why are they fussing with each other? And so, you know, handling conflict wrong is a tendency that we have. And so this issue needs to be addressed. Why do we handle conflict wrong? Why do we handle contentious situations wrong? And what is the right way to handle this? How can I correct my ways? If my tendency is to handle it wrong, are there tools that I or basic principles that I can apply to my life that can help me to stop doing that so that I can handle contention the right way, the way that God has designed it to be? And I think there's tools here for all of us, because all of us are going to be dealing with contention on one side or the other side of the coin, whether you're the leader or whether you're on the other side of the coin. We've all dealt with contention, and we all need to know how God wants us to deal with it. And so we need to listen and preparing for what God has for us, because the way Moses deals with contention here is awesome, and it will give us just the tools that we need to handle a complaining situation, a bad, contentious situation. Moses was leading thousands of people. Some think millions. I mean, we don't know an exact number, but he had a lot of people that he was leading, and I'm pretty sure that not any of us in this room have been to that level of leadership, where we're leading thousands of people. And I'm also sure that you've probably never have been in a situation, well, maybe you have, but probably not, where the ones that you're leading or the one that the contention is with, they would really like to stone you. You know, they would love to see you in the grave. And maybe it's been bad, but I hope it's not been that bad. So this is a bad situation for Moses. And the way he leads through this scenario, it's a great lesson for us, because it will give us the tools we need to deal with the stress that comes along with contention. And buddy, I want you to know, it comes. Stress is there when contention is there. And so we need to have this critical piece of information to help us deal with conflict and contention biblically. Now, Moses had contention. It's there. Now, let's see it again in verse number 1. This is where verse 1 through 3, the contention is building, and it manifests itself. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. Now, this is an important note here in verse number 1, because the children of Israel have been in journeys in obedience to God. They've done just what God wanted them to do in the steps of the journey along the way. But in verse 1, there was no water for them to drink, the last phrase. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses. And so we have this word chide that is developed. The word chide means contention. I know you're not surprised about that, but chide means it's a contentious, argumentative type situation. Verse number 2, it says, Here's what they said. Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And so they're arguing with him. Now, on your notes, number one, it says chide means contention. They were accusing Moses and arguing with him. So if you want to write the word arguing. Now I want you to look at verse number 7. We're going to skip around a little bit just so we can, you know, sort through what Moses is, the lesson that God has for us about leadership here. Verse number 7 says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so we have two words here. Massah means temptation and Meribah means contention. And so it's clear that this whole situation here is known for this contentious situation that Moses has to deal with. The word contend, or rather the word contention has a root word of contend, and it means to like be in a battle with somebody. Tyler is not here today, but he's in the state basketball tournament with Sacred Heart High School. He plays on the high school team. We went to the district games last week, and they won the game we went to, and they lost the next game because we didn't go. So, you know, I feel really bad I didn't go because they lost. But even though they lost their district, they're still ranked number one in state in their class. So they made it as a wild card into the state tournament, which is exciting for them. And so their game is on Thursday this week at 9 in the morning, and God willing, we'll go to that game and we'll get to watch. Now, here's what you'll have when that game starts. This is a state tournament, the state finals. Okay, not the final game, but the state tournament to determine who wins the state championship. They are not going to be, you know, moving out of the way so to give a clear lane for everybody. We are going to have a battle. It's going to be a dogfight, and they're going to be roughhousing each other, and I'm sure there'll be some, you know, elbowing going on. And they probably won't even say I'm sorry about it. It's just contention. And that's what we would expect whenever a sporting event takes place. It's like a battle. It's a contentious situation, and it's a healthy thing. It's a good thing. The contention we're talking about here isn't a good thing. It's not a healthy battle, because the battle is between the children of Israel and the man of God, the children of Israel and God himself. And so this contentious situation between the children of Israel and Moses ultimately is saying, or rather bringing temptation to the Lord, or saying the last phrase of verse number 7. Look at it again. And this is what temptation means. Is the Lord among us or not? And so they were accusing the Lord, bringing accusation against the Lord of not fulfilling his promise. And I would say they're pushing against the wrong opponent. Wouldn't you agree? They're throwing elbows at the wrong opponent, bringing God into contention. And that's precisely what has happened here. And so the contention is clear. There's a fighting spirit. They're ready to go gloves off. They're ready to stone him, and they're very angry. And so I want you to note that. Number two, contentious people are angry people. Write the word angry. It goes on in our notes. We all deal with angry people, don't we? Children, spouse, employees, employer, just, and that list obviously can go on and on. People get angry. People get upset, and then there's potential contention that follows that. And so the obvious question is how do we deal with this conflict? How do we deal with this contention? And Moses offers us an example of leadership. And this is where it gets exciting and powerful, because the contention is there, and Moses deals with it by identifying the true nature of the problem. Look at your notes. Letter A, contention with God or God's man identifies that there is a, does somebody know? It's a spiritual problem. Thank you. You can write that. It's a spiritual problem. Letter B, Moses went to God because he recognized that this was a spiritual need. Verse number 4, the Bible says, Moses cried unto the Lord. So Moses identified, this is godly leadership right here. He identified that this contention means that this is a spiritual problem. He went straight to God about this, saying, what shall I do unto this thy people, they be almost ready to stone me. Their thirst made them angry enough to want to stone their leader. That's just how it was. Yeah. But Moses didn't make it all about him, did he? He recognized that it was a spiritual need and that this wasn't an issue between him and the one that was having the spiritual problem. But you know, that's where we often have the breakdown, either whether we're a leader or whether we're the one that's been hurt and upset. I mean, typically if we're handling this thing in our, you know, reaction, we're reactionary, our nature, then we aren't going to God because we're not recognizing that it's a spiritual problem that we're dealing with here. Like, for instance, let's say there's an argument that you're having with your spouse. Well, you know, for whatever reason you're having a fuss with your spouse, not often do we think, oh, well, this is a spiritual problem. You know why you left the cabinet doors open and the drawers open and your socks on the floor? And I only know about all the stuff I do wrong, but it's because you have a spiritual problem. You know, you're not right with God. Well, we don't just typically see it as that way, you know. But in the end, whenever there is a contention, when there's contention there, then there is a spiritual foundation to that contention. And Moses recognized that. And so when the people were angry, he didn't bite them back. He didn't bite back at them, did he? He went straight to the Lord. And that's what, I think that's a powerful principle for us to make good application of. Now, verse number 5 is God's response. Moses went to God, and verse number 5, God responds. The Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Now, verse 6, and this is my favorite verse of this text. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The word picture here is awesome. God would stand on a rock, and then the rock would be smitten. And then once the rock was smitten by the rod, then water would come out and save the people from their thirst. The word picture there is awesome. I mean, God wants us to see that whenever the rock, capital R, God is smitten, then the water that pours forth out of the rock saves the people from their thirst. The word picture is clear that the one who is going to satisfy their thirst is God. God is the one that's going to take care of this problem. And so what we need to do is we need to go to God, and then God, being the rock who was smitten when he hung on the cross, that poured forth out of his body wasn't just blood but everlasting life. And that in him we have salvation, the satisfaction of our everlasting thirst, Christ, God. And Moses tells us, and God gives us this picture, beautiful picture in the Old Testament of Moses smiting the rock that would save the people from their thirst. This is godly leadership, isn't it? There's a problem, there's contention, there's an issue. We go to God because we know God is the one who's going to satisfy this spiritual situation, this spiritual thirst. And so Moses is our example in this way. In your notes, number 3, the answer was a smitten rock. And that word rock needs to be capital R. The rock of our salvation is Christ. He is the only answer to the spiritual problem of contention. And so what does God want us to do? Well, what does a spiritual leader do? He understands that the need is spiritual, doesn't he? Write the word spiritual. He understands that only God can satisfy spiritual thirst. Therefore, a leader must go to God to deal with contention. Amen. Go to 2 Chronicles 14. Second Chronicles 14. You can lose your place in Exodus. Let's read verse 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah and Merisha. Now, what is just about to take place is a battle, okay? Conflict is a contentious situation. In verse number 11, look what happens. Asa cried out unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power, help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And then, of course, verse 12, and so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So what happened here? Well, there's a conflict, there's a battle. And Asa went to God, and he asked for his help. And the Bible says that God fought the battle for him. That's what we need. When you have conflict with your kids, we need God to fight those battles for us. Listen, we're no match for the conflicts that we're going to face in life. We're not going to handle it correctly. You know, we're not going to handle things naturally in the right attitude, the right spirit, in our knee-jerk reactions to the problems and conflicts that happen in our life. We're not naturally going to handle these things right. So what do we need to do? We need to go to God. We need to, like Moses, cry out to the Lord. So our children sometimes are this big. I'm looking at some of y'all. Sometimes our kids are this big. Sometimes they're this big. They're loud all the way through here, you know, most of them. But, you know, our kids are all different ages. Sometimes they're this big, aren't they? Sometimes they don't live in the house anymore, and they're out, and they have their, now we have their grandbabies and all that. But listen, we, as leaders, as people who are going to deal with contentious situations, we need to remember always to go to God. Go to our knees. We need to seek Him as we saw there in Chronicles, and as we're seeing an example with Moses, that we would go to the Lord and we would beckon unto Him for his help. God, I need your help. I need you to lead and deal in this situation because I cannot do it myself. So this afternoon, I hope that you feel that encouraged in this way. I hope you feel encouraged in this way. That whenever conflict is there, whether it's between you and anybody, that you would recognize it for what it is. A spiritual need. And only God can satisfy a spiritual thirst. So you'll go to Him. And He will provide all the help you need. Okay? Father, again this afternoon, we've had just a short encouragement this afternoon, but I do pray that you'll use it to change our lives, please. And as we study about leadership in the next couple of weeks, I pray that you would teach us the great truths that we need from these messages, please. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.